Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the birth of Christ, not as an isolated event happening 2,000 years ago, but as the awakening of truth in individual consciousness. Listen as we explain the difference between Jesus and the Christ along with the virgin birth, as union of principle with the idea without man. In this show, we will discuss what Mary Baker Eddy means when she says, to think with God as God. And thus see how the knowledge of divine truth corrects and takes care of what seems to be this world. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and accept only spiritual heritage. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Celebrating the Birth of Christ. Now, I know we want to break that down for our listeners, so why don't we get started?
Yeah, it sure has taken me some time to get a better understanding of the meaning of Christmas. And what I've come up with so far is Jesus was the manifestation of Christ. And Christ is the saving principle of truth. Christ is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. The Messiah, or the Savior of the world, is the Christ. And make no mistake, Christ is not limited to Jesus. The birth of Christ is the dawning of Christ consciousness, or the mind of Christ in your consciousness. So we're not sitting around waiting for the reappearance of Jesus, but turning our attention to the divine creation now. So we're really trying to eliminate that separation between us down here and God up there, and bringing it more into a live omnipresence of the divine creation, moving away from that old image of God being the cosmic puppeteer off in the distance, monitoring his creation. We're starting to see we are the living fabric of the divine creation.
So when you were talking about Jesus was the manifestation of Christ, a lot of people think Jesus Christ was actually his name. So the word Christ, we need to relearn what that means.
You know, it's interesting, as you drill down with scripture, even like what you just said, we thought Jesus Christ was his name. And in truth, that's exactly what it is. The Christ by name. Name really means likeness. And so we're trying to get away from the whole belief in matter, period. And when you start to personalize things and you think Jesus is a person, then you start to think Christ is a person. And it keeps you in that very limited perception of what scripture is really referring to. And by impersonalizing it and removing the limitations of matter completely, you open it up into a spiritual idea rather than a material or mental concept. But at the same time, we don't want to negate the whole thing. You want to understand there is a purpose for the appearance. And Jesus, being the manifestation of the Christ, was there so everybody, accepting themselves to be a finite mortal being, would have a paradigm. They'd have an image that they could look at, but not something to worship, but to imitate. We really want to do what Jesus did, and then we really want to understand what he was doing and why he was doing it. And so making that distinction between Jesus and the Christ is an eternal principle. Christ is spirit, whole, complete. And we're really aspiring to acknowledge Christ, but not Jesus. Jesus was a finite human image, but that concept of like attracts like. It's easier for us when we're identifying with ourselves materially, mentally, to identify with Jesus. But we really have to put that off, think differently, and then look at the scripture, because name means likeness, and Christ is spirit. You'll find is the truth about Jesus was the Christ, which is an eternal principle.
So when we talk about the birth of Christ, we know it's not an isolated incident that happened 2,000 years ago, but we said in the opening it's going to be this awakening of truth in individual consciousness. So that's not something that automatically happens, but could you explain to us what we mean by the truth and how do we get it into our individual consciousness?
So we must have this birth of the Christ. The Christ is what's going to make the divine creation, which is the truth, the divine creation that life is perfect, is the truth. The mental human recreation is the false, the counterfeit. And the way that we're going right now collectively is we continue to accept the false sense of existence, and we continue to try and figure out how this unreal became real. We're in this thought loop. We're in this ever-ending, never-ending puzzle we can't seem to solve, when the answer isn't within this mental recreation. The answer is found in the truth, which is the divine creation. And the divine creation doesn't need anything other than being acknowledged. We must know this truth. We must be conscious of the divine creation, but we need the Christ. We need this saving principle that makes the divine creation comprehensive to us. So how we get this in human consciousness? The idea of a virgin birth and the birth of the Christ are the same. All different ways of saying born again of the Spirit. The union of the individual with the divine, or what we call Kriya Yoga, which is not just words in a book, but a real experience. The union of soul with divine creation without man or personal sense. Kriyananda would say, divide and conquer, then unite and stand. There is preparatory work before the union with the divine. Essentially, we find the connection in the thought unity between divine mind and the real person or individual identity. To translate this into a how to get this divine reality in your consciousness and this birth of the Christ on an experiential level, we must stop thinking and start knowing. We're going to use the mind that we have selected to get us through this lifetime, the mind that is directly related to our material senses, and we're going to use it to find the divine creation. The divine creation is invisible and it's intangible to material sense. So we're really looking for nothing, the void. And then we make our mind an avenue of awareness for this invisible, intangible omnipresence. And in silence and in stillness, we watch, we wait, but we stop thinking. We're not forming thoughts and opinions, and we're disconnecting our information from the material senses completely. Now, this birth of Christ is really when our spiritual senses begin to awaken, and by filling our thought with these divine ideas, and especially by letting go of our material moorings, our belief in what is visible and tangible, or what is invisible but tangible, the mind-body complex, the veil, that is preventing us from seeing the divine creation, we let go of that. And by filling our thought with divine idea, which will initially begin as a belief that there is a divine creation, it will make your thought buoyant. And in educating our thought up to spiritual identity, from that perspective, we can then begin to accept ourselves to be spirit. And as this gestation period evolves, as we start to grow in our understanding and knowledge of the Christ, we begin to think differently. We're thinking with our spiritual senses, which is now letting in spiritual light.
So, Swami, I'm really interested in the phrase when you said that there is preparatory work before we can have this union with the divine. And I realize the Kriya Yoga helps us with this preparatory work. Could you explain some of that for our listeners?
Yeah, the eight essential stages of Kriya Yoga, really, they do break down into practices. And they are a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. But again, they're very specifically designed to facilitate a process that begins with this union with the divine, or that connection takes place in the thought unity between the real man and the divine creation. And I really like where Mary Baker Eddy says to think with God as God, because one of the things you'll find about the mind of God is that it is too pure to behold iniquity. And your second stage of yoga, your first niyama, is shaucha, which is purification. And so this concept of purifying thought and filling your thought with divine idea are different ways of saying the same thing. And then, of course, your fifth stage of yoga, which is pratyahara, sense withdrawal, stopping thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on information is coming through our material senses, that we really have to disconnect ourselves from that input, that sense withdrawal. And so to drill down with the idea of purification, the way I like to understand that is the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. Purified thought, or educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, is this preparatory work for the union of the soul to spirit. Now, it's taken me some time to understand that impure thought really are all of the thoughts that are coming from the outer world of sense, and the pure thoughts are the inner world of spirit. And then we find there is this gestation period when we stop thinking and we make our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the divine creation. We're in silence and we're in stillness because there is no stimulation in that mortal mind. And the goal here isn't to be unconscious. In that silence and stillness, we have this awakening, the birth of the Christ, the dawning of spiritual light on your consciousness, the awakening of your spiritual senses that is now drawing information from the divine truth, the divine creation that wasn't comprehensive to your material senses, but is now activating your spiritual senses.
You had said the phrase purify thought. Is that what Mary Baker Eddy means when she says to think with God as God?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think she meant by that, because the mind of God is too pure to behold iniquity. So it would make perfect sense to me that if you're thinking with God as God, you are not seeing the human mental finite recreation, you are only seeing the perfect divine creation. And then you start to understand the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1: Human Development and the Eight Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I know that we are celebrating Christmas this week, but there's also something else we should be celebrating. We have another big event coming up. Do you want to review that with our listeners?
Well, tomorrow is going to be the winter solstice at 10:59 a.m., which is the longest night and the shortest day. Also, what's going on with winter solstice is the sun opposes the solar eclipse of June 21st, 2020 at 0 degrees Cancer, 21 minutes. And the sun may be a trigger for the theme of the solar eclipse, which what we have been talking about, outer representation for this inner union, the union of the soul with the divine. If you're keeping a journal, this would be a great time to look for some clues for what that might mean for you.
So I've been reading a CPS on your website for years now, but could you just review what the moon opposition, Pluto and opposition Venus, can you just break that down a bit more for me and our listeners?
Yeah, the CPS is what we call the celestial positioning system. It's just a list of transits we have on the website we do for each month. On that particular transit, the moon opposition Pluto and opposition Venus, it may bring conflict to transform personal interests. And so we start to see we're really trying to give up a personal sense of self to begin with in order for us to accept spiritual identity, the body of Christ. And here we're talking about the birth of Christ. And one of the things we'll start to see is this birth of Christ, spiritual identity, is really going to dissolve this personal sense of self. We come out of time, space, concept, belief, thinking, human will, and personal sense. But it's not a loss of self-conscious awareness. It's an upgrade because you're now identifying with yourself not from a finite mortal perspective with limitations, but now you are accepting the omnipresence of spiritual selfhood.
So when we're born in our human birth, so what would be the difference being born of the human birth as opposed to this birth of Christ that we've been talking about this morning?
I'm sure most of us don't remember our birth into material sense. When you're born, there's this period of unfamiliarity, this sense of confusion, because you went from one environment into something that's completely different. And so spiritual birth is going to be the same thing. It's going to have that same effect on you. And in our physical birth, we start out with a mind in union with the sense world, a divided consciousness that believes in two powers. And for most, this is the mode of operation from cradle to the grave. And that life is completely unconscious to the Christ, unaware of the divine truth, the divine creation, or the world of spirit. And so by us disconnecting our mind from the material senses and the input that is coming through world thought, and we now connect to the divine creation, what is invisible and intangible, while we're waiting for our spiritual senses to awaken and start to function in the way that they are designed to navigate through this divine creation, there's that period of awkwardness and unfamiliarity that we're all going to go through.
So is there anything that we can do to prepare ourselves for this transition to go from one medium to another?
I started out understanding that the birth of Christ here is separated from the birth of Jesus, which would have been personal. So we're talking about the birth of the saving principle of the divine creation, which may begin as an awareness or belief in the divine creation. And then if it's nurtured, it grows into faith and then eventually into understanding. And so with this development of the Christ in your consciousness, you believe that there's a divine creation. And so from that perspective, I think you're 180 degrees from people who don't believe in the divine creation, or those that think they believe in the divine creation, but they're really working with the human mental concept about that. And so your belief in this divine creation begins to reveal itself to you. The idea of faith, faith being the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is where our belief begins to reveal itself, demonstrate. You'll be able to prove this divine creation. It's not something you just believe in. You start to see that it is a demonstrable principle. And as you familiarize yourself with navigating through spiritual sense, spiritual faculties, then you cultivate into understanding, and you're able to prove the presence of this divine creation with scientific certainty, because it isn't guesswork. It's a demonstrable principle.
Well, Swami, I see we have a verse from the Bible, Romans, that also might help us explain what this show is about.
Yeah, Romans 7:25. I'll read it. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's the end of the quote. The way I break this down is by understanding the two worlds. One, this world, which is the world of sense, the human mind-body complex that serves the world mind and externalizes the false sense of life. And the second, thy kingdom, which is the world of spirit that serves the one perfect divine creation. And what I really think Paul is saying here is the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. That is the mind of Christ. That is what makes the one perfect divine life comprehensive to you. And then you live and move and have your being in that truth.
Swami, I know we've asked this question many times before, and that is, how does the mind free itself from its own creation?
Yeah, the answer here is the Christ, the saving aspect of truth. Or as it's written in the Bible, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And the thing that we really want to start to understand is this mental recreation, this human mind-body complex that we are accepting isn't real. It's not like we have to get rid of anything. All we have to do is get rid of the belief that we are a finite mortal being with an expiration date. And so again, the Christ isn't a person. It isn't something outside yourself. It is the dawning of this truth in your consciousness that you are perfect. You are the reflection of an indestructible principle.
So, I mean, it seems like we have to think differently about our celebration this week when we're celebrating the birth of Jesus.
Yeah, so instead of celebrating the birth of Jesus, we're looking to induce the birth of Christ in our consciousness. And this can be done individually, locally, or collectively, globally. But we want to acknowledge that divine creation is the only truth of being. And to maybe help understand how we can induce this for ourselves, I like this 1 Corinthians 2:16. I'll read it. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. End of quote. And for me, I really like that idea of we don't have to make the mind of Christ. We don't have to make spiritual transformation. We have to accept it. We have to know that we are the reflection of the divine. And without trying, striving, struggling, planning, or seeking, we rest, we know, we let the divine creative principle dawn on us in silence and in stillness. We let that spiritual light dispel the darkness of the false shadow of the human concept.
So, Swami, what do you think the difference is between Jesus and the Christ?
Well, again, I think Jesus is the finite mortal concept, the manifestation of the Christ. But the Christ is an eternal principle. Like we said in the opening, how the knowledge of divine truth corrects and takes care of what seems to be this world. The message of the Christ was heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. It's a demonstrable principle. And to reduce that to a personal sense renders it void and obscure. And for me, who would choose the false sense of life with sickness, suffering, disease, and death mixed with sin, worldly profits, and a temporary sense of success in favor of eternal health, everlasting happiness? And probably the only ones that would do that would be those who have never seen or experienced the bliss, wonder, awe of divine truth, which would be those without the mind of Christ. And until we really start to educate thought up to spiritual apprehension, and we make that clear distinction between Jesus and the Christ, the world will continue to survive in this cycle of death and rebirth. But to train the mind to serve spirit, remember, Christ is spirit. Become aware of the invisible, intangible omnipresence until spiritual light dawns on you. Your sleeping spiritual senses awaken in the light of the divine creation, and not the material world of mental energy. And like we said, this is a demonstrable principle. It's not just something that you talk about or believe in or hope or wish that it would work. We learn by accepting and living in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body corrects and takes care of what seems to be this personal sense of reality, this false sense of existence. And then you know the truth that makes you free from the cycle of death and rebirth.
Well, we're going to break down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the fading banner Blog Talk Radio. If you click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then by clicking on the products tab and online classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. So Swami, with that, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and accept only spiritual heritage. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.